This is Fresh Air. The second season of the Peabody Award-winning comedy series Reservation Dogs has begun. The show focuses on four young Native American teenagers who live in rural Oklahoma. Our critic at large, John Power, says it's a great show that's unlike anything else on TV.
We all want to tell our own stories, not have them told by people who don't understand us or take our lives seriously. This is the fate that Native Americans have had to endure for countless decades. So when Reservation Dogs came out last year, the series was rightly hailed as groundbreaking. With a cast, production crew, and primary creator, Sterling Harjo, who were all indigenous, it offered a view from the inside of lives that are usually ignored. As Reservation Dogs begins its strong second season, it's worth emphasizing that the series is also one of the best and most original shows on TV. Set in Oklahoma's Native American territory, it blends dumb jokes, smart jokes, satire, pathos, social realism, magical realism, and tribal lore, not to mention American Indians' tragic history, into a series that is fresh, funny, and heartfelt. As you may know, the series centers on a gang of four teenagers, known as Res Dogs. There's Bear, played by emo-faced DeFaro Wunatai, who longs for the father who abandoned his family. There's soulful Alora, that's Devery Jacobs, who's the group's true center of gravity. There's the foul-mouthed Willie Jack, played by Paulina Alexis, and the affable one known as Cheese, that's Lane Factor, who gets along with everyone. They are surrounded by grown-ups who range from Uncle Brownie, a one-time barfighter who's now a hermit, to a kookily benign cop named Officer Big, played by Zahn McClarnon, the star of AMC Plus's terrific Navajo mystery series, Dark Winds. In season one, this gang of four was busy accumulating money, sometimes illegally, in order to leave the reservation and get to California. But their plans get flattened when a tornado hits town, and only Alora heads out, along with one of the gang's enemies, the tough deadpan Jackie. As season two begins, these young women are trying to get out of Oklahoma in their ramshackle car. While back home, Bear looks for work, as Willie Jack and Cheese seek a way to rescind a black magic curse that backfired. Here, the depressed Bear receives a visitation from a goofy spirit, a bare-chested warrior who was supposedly at Little Bighorn.
I'll check you later.
Wait, you serious? No, come on, man. You literally invade my life whenever it's convenient for you, man. And as soon as I'm seeking help, you just bail?
Okay, you got your sacred curlies in, right?
My what?
Your sacred hairs. Your man mesh. Your nest of creation. Your he muff, she muff, they muff down there. See, long time ago, when our sacred hairs came in like that, it meant that we weren't children no more and that we started working for the people. You're acting like a kid, man. We all had a job. We all had a role. That's how we built strong nations, like each a stitch in the great loincloth of the people.
I don't even know what that means, man.
I don't even know what it means, man. I'm just making up as I go along, all right?
Now, I always get nervous when a series I love enters season two. And I feared the worst when episode one tilted a bit too sharply toward the comic whimsy that is sometimes its failing. But the show quickly regained its balance and began doing what makes it special. Working in a loose indie film style, Harjo and company build around moments, not plot points, and avoid the temptation to make a grand statement about the situation of American Indians. They use their young hero's daily life to offer glimpses, some silly, some profoundly moving, of a modern Native American reality that goes beyond the familiar narrative of victimization and misery. Although they live with poverty and fractured families, the show's characters are vibrantly alive. And there are episodes, like Cheese doing a ride-around with Officer Big, Willie Jack hunting with her dad, or Bear learning to become a roofer, that glow with a warmth and wisdom rare on television. I can think of no other show that gives a clearer sense of what it means to live in a community that feels like a community. Reservation Dogs evokes a culture in which age-old tribal curses exist alongside discussions of gender pronouns, and the legacy of Crazy Horse sits side by side with hip-hop and references to Star Wars. The show is wise up enough to laugh at classic tropes, like the stoic and taciturn Indian, and to make light of the notion of spirit guides, as in the clip we heard earlier. Yet these are jokes from the inside. Even as the show has fun with Native American tradition, it finds a way of doing it honor, as in this season's beautiful episode, when everyone comes together in a death watch for Elora's grandmother. Back in season one, Willie Jack gets to talking about all the seemingly uncontrolled dogs running the streets. Nobody cares about Red's dog, she says, referring as much to herself and her friends as to their four-footed namesakes. But she's wrong. This show cares, and I suspect it will make you care, too.
John Powers reviewed The Return of Reservation Dogs on Hulu. Tomorrow on Fresh Air, my guest will be Washington Post political columnist Dana Milbank. In his new book, The Destructionists, the 25-year crack-up of the Republican Party, he looks at some of the key people and events over the past 25 years that led to today's Republican Party, with some elected leaders, candidates, and officials still endorsing the lie that Trump won, pushing conspiracy theories, and exploiting racism. I hope you'll join us. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our technical director and engineer is Audrey Bentham. Our interviews and reviews are produced and edited by Amy Sallet, Phyllis Myers, Sam Brigger, Lauren Krenzel, Heidi Simon, Teresa Madden, Anne Ribaldonato, Thea Chaloner, Seth Kelly, and Susan Yakundi. Our digital media producer is Molly C.V. Nesper. Roberta Shorrock directs the show. I'm Terry Gross.